Before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I wanted to tell you about our brand new sponsor, St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. If you know me at all, you know my body is a mess. I've been in car accidents. I got bulge discs in my neck and my back. I got sciatica pain. Well, no more, thanks to St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center. The difference with them is neurosomatic therapy, or NST. NST incorporates innovative ways to analyze and thoroughly explore your muscles, tendons, ligaments, and organs in order to find the hidden sources of the pain. And they're not going to go and just give you medication, move you around a little bit. This is intensive therapy that finds the root of your pain. The reason neurosomatic therapy works is because it looks at the body as a whole instead of focusing on individual systems. It worked for me, and it can work for you. Give them a call at 727-347-4325 and visit them online at stjohn-clarkptc.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive, Drop Car, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you were a program director, ops manager, which you are de facto, but no, yeah. No one admits it, and you say like, "Hey, Mike's going to replace somebody. This is going to be who is it going to be?"
I think Will is a. I think Will is a prize that nobody's discovered yet.
Yeah, he's a diamond in the rough for sure.
Yeah, I would put him on a different show and give him more exposure. But that's the first thing that I would do. So you can't reverse these things on me because I have no problem saying what's on my mind.
Okay, and. Are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hi, everybody. This is Eugenie Bondurant. I play Tigress in The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2,
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from Ghislaine Maxwell's secret underground bunker where she hid out for many moons and finally was arrested this week. It's the HMB Radio / Stay Woke program podcast thing.
I thought you were going to introduce me as Ghislaine Maxwell.
I have Ghislaine Maxwell
every
here.
I'm horrible with accents, so.
What is her, is she English?
Yeah,
what's
she's British.
Okay.
I mean, right. I think she has a few different passports because, you know, she's part of the Illuminati.
Yeah.
I don't know if she, I think she was working with the Mossad. I know her dad was Robert Maxwell. Mm-hmm. He was like a publishing tycoon.
Right.
I think he was a triple agent in terms of the investigation that I did. It looks like he was working with the Israelis, the Brits, and the Russians.
Oh, yeah.
Like an agent for all three.
Anybody's dog for a bone. Huh?
Yeah. He also like, I think he just ended up dead, like. Washed up, like floating near his yacht.
Oh, that happened.
Yeah, I think this was either in the 80s or the 90s. They don't really know how he died. They think he had like a heart attack. Right. Yeah, cardiac arrest, something like that.
With a gunshot wound to the back of his head.
Right. He died of coronavirus back in 1983.
That's right.
So that's the situation.
If you do, I usually give the number and stuff, but I know you have it. You have this on your own feed as well. So if anybody wants to call in and leave a message or anything, you can do that at 813-693-2124. And my Instagram is home_made_man. And Anna's, of course, Anna Hummel Radio.
Mm-hmm.
It was 4th of July this past. This won't come out until after 4th of July.
Right.
But I'm assuming we had a great time. And we celebrated our country by segregating ourselves from everyone and hiding in our homes.
Uh-huh.
I was just looking for a pool that I could drunkenly float in. And I hopefully accomplished that. That's what I was looking
to
do.
Those are your predictions? Is that you'll drunkenly float in a pool?
I just peed and drank beer in a pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
hopefully,
what I
hopefully
do.
With other people and not by yourself.
I don't care. It can be alone. I'd be totally okay with that. I think that's probably the right way to go because of the vastly spreading COVID-19 that's going on. That has
allegedly.
Nothing to do with the protests. it finally, the L.A., mayor,
I saw that.
Hinted that, maybe
it's a possibility.
Has something to do with the protests. We don't really know.
Yeah.
But he says he talked with his. Oops. I hate when they just play stuff. Yeah, that sucks.
It's good music, bad.
He said, I talked with Dr. Ferrer about it this morning. She does think some of the spread did come from the protests. It's not the act of protesting. That's great, an American thing to do, no matter what your opinion is. Everybody walks on eggshells.
Yeah, right, right.
Just around facts.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But protesting without maintaining physical distancing, without wearing your mask, without having hand sanitizer, we just have to be smart whether you're at a protest or at your home.
Okay, that's a bunch of that's a bunch of BS. And I was telling Will, actually, before we started recording, that at my new place of occupation, which I will not talk about. If you know me, you know where I'm working now, unfortunately, because of...
We keep that totally separate.
Separate,
nothing to do.
Equal. Not like Jim Crow.
This show is two buds.
Just two.
You're a friend of mine.
Two pals.
And we talk about things that we want to talk about.
Because we don't want to upset our daddies.
It has nothing to do with our workplaces. Yeah. I feel like we're gay in 1950. We have to sneak around.
I know. I feel that way, too. I feel like, you remember the story of Romeo and Juliet?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a homosexual version of that because I really do look at you. I mean, you probably look at me like a bud. I look at you as like a gal pal, but like the Montagues and the Capulets, you know, their families hated each other, but they ended up together. They ended up dead.
Which is still possible.
Yeah, spoiler alert, scenario. They died, but nevertheless, you know, that they had to, they just couldn't be apart.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I view our relationship now, Will, but at my new place of occupation, actually, there is a doctor who's like a resident co-host on the show.
Okay.
And we got into a little bit of a discussion. I don't want to say it was a heated debate, but he is a certified physician and also a certified lawyer, just to add insult to injury and make the rest of us feel horrible
That's
about
impressive.
Ourselves. Yeah, it is impressive. And actually, on a side note, I was telling Will that I think my brain is broken because when I was asked on the show, like, hey, do you think this doctor is hot? He's a doctor. He's a lawyer. He's, you know, good looking. He's athletic. And I go, no, I don't want to bang him anymore. And it just made me feel worse about myself. And I go, I think I have a broken brain because I feel like I'll speak for women. I think that, you know, if you come across a guy who's got, you know, got it all, he's smart, he's funny, he's good looking, he's, you know, got all the credentials, he's educated, all these things, you would feel attraction for that person. Unfortunately, I think my brain is broken. And instead of feeling attraction for them, I just feel like crap about myself. I go, God, I've accomplished nothing.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm a piece of S. What's wrong with me? But anyways,
this is like fat shaming, but life shaming.
Yeah. Right. And you shame yourself. And I don't know if I'm alone in this, but it's like, I can't even be impressed because as soon as I get impressed with another person, I go, I just take a mirror and I go, well, what have you done? And I go, not much. Mm. Got fired from a few different places, you know.
Mm.
But anyways, but
you're doing stuff. I mean, it's not like you're a bum or anything.
Yeah, I know. But I feel like I have high expectations for myself and I feel like I'm never meeting them, which it's good and bad, right? So it's like you stay hungry and you keep pushing yourself. I'm very much against participation trophying, mm-hmm. if we can make that a verb. You know, like when I first started on the show I'm working on now, I feel like a lot of people were telling me, oh, you're doing a great job and doing, you know, so well, and we're so glad. And I go, listen, I know when I knock it out of the park, and I feel like I'm not at 100% comfort level yet, and I feel like there's a lot of room to grow, but don't like pat me on the back and go, you're doing great. Like, just tell me how it is. I know that I can do better, but I'm new, and with radio, you got to make sure you're not stepping on people's toes. That's like the number one rule. If you are new to a program, the worst thing you can do is talk over people, ruin a vibe. I say vibe ruining is probably the worst. Maybe you try to take the conversation in another direction. Maybe you land a horrible joke, whatever it is. If they're rolling, whoever it is, the host, the co-host, it doesn't matter, and they're rolling, and then you interject just because you want to get your voice in there and you F up the show or you F up the vibe, that's like the worst thing that you could do. You might as well just stay a little bit quiet, and really, you got to be like a sniper. I feel like I'm a sniper because mm-hmm. I got to make sure I'm making the hits right where they need to be. Otherwise, the enemy's going to know where I am, and I'm going to get effed. So.
Yeah. Well, that, and that'll just take some reps, you know, getting time, comfortable. Yeah. You build those relationships. You don't, you know, you're going in cold with most of these people and you don't know them, and you'll figure them out though. You have a high EQ.
I do. So it'll take time, but nevertheless, so I was having this conversation with this doctor, and he likes to remind, well, he goes by Dr. Blank. I'm not going to say his name. So he likes to remind everybody that he is a doctor, as he should. And he was talking to, we were talking about the protests, and he said, you know, you can't really blame the rise in COVID cases on the protests. Cause I brought that up. I go, well, of course they're rising cause the protests. I said it in as if it were a fact, because it's a fact. And he goes, well, you know, you really can't say that. I go, yes, you can. And I go, how can you not? Like, explain that to me. And basically what he said, A, people were wearing masks, and I will debunk both of these. He said, A, people were wearing masks, and B, it was a small percentage of people out there protesting. He goes, yeah, it was hundreds of thousands of people, but if you look at the overall population of America, it's very, very few people. And I go, hey, remember when it started with one person? Remember when it started with one person? And, you know, he just goes, but I'm a doctor. I go, you do boobs. You do boob jobs, okay? Thank God you're not treating people for coronavirus.
Yeah.
So he didn't like that. And he's like, you know, but they were wearing masks. I go, right. But they're also pulling them down not to scream.
Not all of them. I've seen plenty of protests here locally where the Times goes and follows these kids around. And some of them are wearing masks and some of them aren't.
Right.
So, and it only works if everybody's wearing a mask.
Right. And they're often wearing, first of all, they're pulling them down to scream. Because you can't really scream with a mask. Secondly, they're getting wet with spit and sweat. And if you're wearing a cloth mask or a paper mask, they're not going to work.
Yeah,
they're ineffective if once they get wet. That's why you have to replace them. And then I was like, remember when healthcare workers, I mean, I don't want to say allegedly, but I feel like everything is up for debate in this country. But remember when the healthcare workers in full PPE gear were just falling, just dropping like flies, and they were wearing masks and gowns and goggles and slippers and all of this. They were like in hazmat suits and they were dying. I don't think a paper mask is going to help you when you're amongst hundreds of thousands of people protesting. And not just one protest. This has been going on for 4.5 weeks now. So, I mean, get real. And he's like, well, I'm a doctor. I go, but I'm not. Retarded.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Now I'm going to get canceled for saying that, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know, it's true. I'm like, well, guys, only, I have eyes.
Not only did it...
And a brain.
not only did it not help spread the virus, it actually helped, is what the corporate press was putting out there, because since people were out on the streets, it kept people inside in cities because they didn't want to deal with the protesters. So that was their story. But then you see in New York.
But the protesters eventually go home, right? Like, and they interact. Yeah. They go to the grocery store. They do other things. So.
Right. Yes, exactly. So, yeah, they might be. Right. They go to the grocery store. Everybody's in the grocery store.
Right, right.
So there was I saw that the vice president was here this past week along with Burks. I don't think Fauci was here.
What do you mean here? Like in Florida?
In Florida. It might have been
Jacksonville.
Tampa. Maybe it was Jacksonville. Yeah. They were somewhere in Florida. And, Dr. Burks asked anyone in Florida who attended any kind of large gathering who are under 40 to get tested. Oh, like what? What kind of large gathering are you talking about? I thought it didn't matter. Like the
like
only
a Trump
thing,
rally?
The only thing going
like a barbecue?
On, well, that wasn't in Florida. Trump was in Oklahoma. So that wasn't that. You can't be blamed for that one. But it's like they'll sit there and gaslight you and tell you that none of this stuff. And I mean, it's just so obvious that it had something to do with it. And two things can be true at once. Bars opening up and things opening up too early definitely could have helped spread the
Absolutely.
Virus. No doubt
100%.
About it. So two things can be true at once, protest and this thing. But they're not asking these people if they've been to protests on purpose for a reason.
And of course.
I had a caller call in and tell me that, well, they don't do that on purpose because it's protecting their First Amendment because it's protesting and it's protected speech. Okay. Well, going to church is First Amendment protected too, and that's shut down. You can't do that. So you can't have these rules for thee and not for me. I mean, you can, and they do it constantly, but I don't know why there's not. And I was against that. There was that local pastor, remember?
The guy from South Africa?
Maybe. He's got that super church here in Tampa, and he opened up.
That's
and initially, I was like, what a dumbass. You know, like, what is this guy doing? You know, he's risking everything. And I still feel that way, but I also feel that way about the protests, too. And since the protests are sanctioned and fine, then let him open his goddamn church up if that's going to be the case. Like, I'm not a religious person. I think it's
a waste of time. Boring.
Silly, and you're putting yourself at unnecessary risk, but also your body, your choice.
Oh, I loved that. Did you say? I think it was people in Seminole that were protesting. They said, my body, my choice. But in regards to wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, which made me laugh because that's a pro-choice chant, you know?
Right.
But they're using it, and I'm sure a lot of the pro-choicers would disagree with, you know, people not wearing masks. They want people to wear masks because, of course, we look at the right script and we look at the left script and we see where people fall. And I just thought that was hilarious because they were using that chant against them, but they weren't wrong. It is their body and should be their choice ultimately. So
it is, and I do agree with that. And I get the resistance to the mask. I said at the very beginning, it makes sense for you to cover. Everybody should wear one of these things. If you're in a hospital setting, everybody has a mask on. It helps stop the spread of disease, obviously. And we found out, we talked about it last week, and I've talked about it on other shows and stuff too, that, they ended up lying to us about the mask initially.
And
they
admitted to it.
And admitted to it because they wanted to save the mask for the medical professionals, which, okay, that makes sense. But there had to have been a better way of doing that than lying. They could have said, you know, Amazon stopped selling masks to patrons. They saved it all.
Buy cloth masks, buy paper masks, buy something else.
And then the Surgeon General came out and told you how to make your own cloth mask. And they should have just done that from the very beginning. Right. And I know human nature. We saw it with the toilet paper, how people react when things are scarce. So everybody would have went out and bought the mask. I get it. But then you run this risk now of...
Don't trust authority.
They don't trust these people. Why are they telling the truth now if they lied before?
Right,
I don't want
to
wear
it. It's a relationship. Like any relationship, you lied to me once. What makes me think you wouldn't do it again?
And it's become political, just like everything else, you know? But, you know, and they keep saying... I hear people say, not everybody, but some people say that, oh, people on the right don't want to wear a mask. I really haven't... There is some of that, but
there's
I've seen like Mitch McConnell came out and like had a commercial saying to wear your mask. I mean, there are some very prominent people on the right telling you to wear your mask, and you should, I think, wear your mask. I don't.
On the street, I think there is a divide, though.
There is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about
it. Again, I haven't surveyed everybody, so I don't know, but of what I've seen, it seems to be it does fall party lines.
Absolutely. Yeah, and everything does now, which is very, very frustrating. But so I want to know, and like they'll just say this reporter, Steve Contorno, just put this stuff out there, and they'll just put data out there, just be like, yeah, get tested. And it's like, well, why did you ask why? Like, isn't that your job to find out why we should, what happened that people, but they don't want to ask these questions because they're going to get answers that they don't really want.
Right. And what's funny to me is instead of saying like, it's inconclusive if these protests, you know, caused a rise in COVID, they say it doesn't show, there's no evidence that it shows. It's like, well, of course, because you didn't ask the questions.
And if you don't have that data, then shockingly, there's going to be no data to suggest that. But yeah, I hated that. And maybe that's true. Maybe that is why they asked, that it's protected against the First Amendment. But I would think there is some sort of, I don't know, back end for that, because we're in a life or death situation, supposedly, even though you keep seeing hospitalizations are going up.
Right.
But deaths are going down. Yeah. They seem to have the treatment under control now. And they run these stories every time because it's old people and sick people who are getting destroyed by this thing or dying from this thing. But most people, I know two of my friends got it. One was just lost their taste and smell.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And one had a minor sickness.
Okay.
And she's fine. Yeah, right. But still positive. So she's quarantining everything she needs to be doing. But I mean, it really wasn't a big deal for them. But
I heard there was like an 11-year-old boy that died.
And
you got to be careful.
And I would be interested to find out what his pre-existing conditions were.
Sure.
On that thing.
He was like 700 pounds. Who knows? Maybe not. Maybe not.
Diabetes,
but
cancer.
You probably had something. Probably had something going on. But but it is crazy. I think I referenced my one, I hope she doesn't listen, my one crazy liberal friend. She might know who she is. Who I feel like has threatened to terminate our friendship over the 15 years of friendship because of a few things that I said. But when I brought up the whole point of, you know, they lied about the mask. She said that the authorities, like, why wouldn't you listen to authority? And I said, well, you know, they lied to us. Right, and they not only did they lie, but they admitted to lying.
Yeah.
And she goes, like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I literally referenced, like, an article, and I said, I'm surprised you don't remember this. And she was just saying, okay, just because they lied at the beginning, like, doesn't mean you can't take anything that they say. I go, absolutely. It calls everything into question. And to tell you the truth, not only that, it seemed like she was okay with them lying to us because it was for, like, for our good, right? For the good. They know what's best for us. And so if they have to lie to us to protect us, then that is okay with her. And I'm like, wow, that's a really, really scary mindset to have, because then it opens up the door to everything else. So anybody can lie to you to protect you. That's your take on it versus knowing the truth. I'm all about more information is always better. And she was like, you never criticize Trump. I go, yes, I do. When Trump said, well, we should stop testing so that the numbers aren't as high, I go, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Mm. More information is always better and more beneficial. So don't tell me that I'm like, I hang to one side versus the other. But when I see, especially, I hate to say it, the left doing some dirty stuff and cherry picking, first they seem to be all about science, right? Well, like, global warming, science, COVID-19, the numbers are going up, we need to wear a mask, blah, blah, even though they don't socially distance, whatever. But then when it comes to something like biological sex, then science, we need to throw science out the window. It's like, well, wait a second. No, there's a science to sex. It's XXXY. Oh, well, it's a social contract. No, it's not. Gender is. We can. There's an argument there, I suppose. But biological sex, there's definitely a... And they go, no. You don't know what you're talking about. But you should be about science and global warming and mask wearing. And I go, this makes no freaking sense. And the right does it as well. The right does it as well. They're like, oh, we're all about facts, this and that and the other. And then, they're all evangelicals and go to church and believe in tooth fairies and stuff.
Yeah.
So it makes no sense.
It's not. I want to touch on your friend, though, saying that, you know, she's okay with being lied to protect her. That's not really that crazy. That's a value. That's safety over liberty. That's that spectrum. One mm-hmm. side you got liberty, one side you have, I guess, right. Safety or
but if Trump lied to
something.
Us, she would have a massive problem with that. You know,
yes,
so
because that is
it's selected lying.
Ideological right. enemy. Right. He's been. So it is 4th of July. And I want to talk about, I don't know, 4th of July, I guess. There was a protest in Tampa boycotting the 4th of July put on by a vegan restaurant in Tampa.
Oh, which one? Cider Press?
No.
It's great, but overpriced.
It's veg. I don't even want to mention their names.
Sorry.
Because I think it's stupid. Okay. But. I thought that was a very 2020 thing that happened. The anti 4th of July boycotting sponsored by a vegan restaurant just seems to just go together so well.
Yeah.
I got a hearty chuckle
yeah.
out of that whole thing. This podcast is brought to you by NTT Nutrition and NTTNutrition.com. What is NTT Nutrition? It is a meal preparation service. COVID is rampant right now. You don't even want to go to the grocery store. Don't go anywhere. Stay in your home. Have NTT Nutrition prepare your meals for you. Drop them off at your front door in a nice bag with an ice pack in it. Get them in your fridge. Put it 2 minutes in the microwave, and you're eating good, and you're eating stuff that is good for you, and it's tasty as heck. You're going to love it. Enter my code at checkout, LevelUp15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. NTTNutrition.com. I saw this poll in the Washington Examiner, and it was talking about how college spoils patriotism in high schoolers. And it says here 91% of high schoolers have a favorable view of the American flag.
Mm-hmm.
For college students, it's 73%. Some 44% of high schoolers have a favorable view of the United Nations flag. For college kids, it's 51%. 66% of high schoolers believe that America is exceptional compared to 47% of college students, and 63% of high school students feel proud of America compared to 40% of college students. And this is what I'm on lately, which is the cathedral, the union between accepted discourse, which lies in university systems. Mm-hmm. They are the trusted institutions, and why wouldn't they be? These are where all our thought leaders
right.
congregate and talk to each other.
And much like the situation I had with the doctor, when they start talking, they go, "But I'm a doctor." Most people go, "That's right. They have the authority. They have the credentials that we accept as our experts, right? If you want to be an expert, you have to study for the X amount of years, have this doctor MD in front of your name, and then we trust everything that you say." But we also have to remember that these people have biases. These people have narratives that they're trying to push.
Not only a bias, but clearly an agenda.
Right. So they have their own sort of things that they're trying to get out there, despite the fact that they may have a doctor or a lawyer, whatever sort of certification that they have, which is really confusing, because you're like, if I'm supposed to look to you as the person who's the expert that's going to show me the way, and you're misleading me, then we're all effed, you know? So
yeah. And it's you can kind of see it on the streets now, where these shock troops are kind of trained, and it seems like they come mostly out of, I don't know where these kids come from here locally, but I guarantee you a lot of them have residence in the USF dorms. Or, and also not only is that, you know, it's kind of headquartered in universities, but there are so, every other institution is really like Hollywood, corporations. I mean, you look how the corporations have come out in support of BLM.
Right.
And demanding that the Redskins change their name.
I did hear that today.
Nike took...
What would it be? Would they change the mascot, everything, or would it just be the name? Like,
so I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, and he was saying, well, why don't they just change it? Change it to the Warriors, you know, kind of keep the same motif. And I go, I don't think that's going to cut it. I think it's going to be a problem just being having a Native American affiliated as a mascot. I have a feeling that's still going to be a problem.
But you have like the Cowboys, like,
yeah, but that's cares about that. Yeah, that's right. It's just one of
those.
You're
right. It's
one of those weird things.
It's a double standard.
Like
so.
People who would like the people on the right side of the spectrum don't complain about this stuff. You know what I mean? Right. They don't really play in identity politics. There is a spectrum of the right that does deal in identity politics, but those are the Nazis. Nazi guys.
Right.
But that. Their beef isn't really with names.
I wouldn't say that they care. Yeah. I wouldn't think they would have beef with that at all.
They wouldn't care.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that whole team. Also, there's a team, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
Which is along the same lines, I would say. And if they do completely rebrand.
Why is there no, or is there? I don't know. I don't really follow sports, but is there an issue with the name or?
It seems like all the heat is on the Redskins.
Because Redskin is like, is that even a derogatory term?
They did a study a while back that I saw, and it was about 50-50 as far as Native Americans went, if they were offended by it
or
not.
So they sampled 12 people, because that's all that's left, and they asked them, do you find this offensive?
I think it was a little bigger than that.
I was about to make a joke about them all being too drunk, but I'm not going to make that joke.
No, of course
Sorry.
Not. Of course not. That's not true, Anna. Jeez, how dare you.
Sorry.
But yeah, so it's about 50-50, as most of these things are, these cultural issues. That's why there's no salient voice that really speaks for anybody. Because I know, I got this dude, Dave, I know he's a black guy, who's a Republican, and he disagrees with all this stuff. So it's not just like and that's how these people will try to argue with you, like, this is a perspective of somebody who is a minority and somebody who is oppressed, so you need to listen
Which is almost racist to think that one minority group would have, like, a consensus on how that group should think, like,
and
that they're not individuals.
They don't, but that's how it's argued, and it goes off your sympathy.
And then you're like, oh, this is offensive to black people, and Candace Owens is like, no, it's not. They're like, oh, but she's an Uncle Tom. You're like, oh, okay, my bad.
Right. And that's how the game is played, and it's very effective. As you see, I saw this poor lady get fired. She was a dean of nursing at a school, and she felt like she had to make a statement and said,
what, all lives matter?
She said, Black Lives Matter, but also all lives matter. And that
was
a
caveat.
Big
no-no. Nope.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chica.
And what these boomers, don't understand is that they look at it as a superficial statement, and these kids do it too. So sorry, it's not just boomers. It is the kids too. They just see it as that phrase, Black Lives Matter. And you go, of course it does. Everybody thinks that, except a few weirdos that are in the country, the racists, I suppose. But it's not really, it's an organization. It's a proper noun, you know? And we talked about it a little bit last week at Patrice Cullors. It said that this is ideologically driven, and they're trained Marxists. And Rudy Giuliani came out and
I heard
said that this week too. Which was interesting to see. I didn't really see any pushback from that too much.
Did he used to be a Democrat? Is that
true? No, he was a Republican. He was the last Republican mayor of New York City.
Okay, but for some reason I thought that he used to be on the left and then transferred to the right. Maybe that's, I don't know. I thought I heard that.
Maybe. He is
very old, so.
He is a very old dotard, yes. Yeah. So these boomers get in trouble, and also these kids get in trouble too. I mean, you see people finally getting arrested for tearing down these monuments and stuff, mm-hmm. and they think that they're
martyrs,
freedom riders. Yeah, that they are taking the lead because it's just that superficial statement. They don't really look into what these organizations are. Sure. And it was archived at one point that one of the goals of BLM was to destroy the nuclear family. That was on their to-do list. And they since removed that smartly. But it was up there at one point.
What would be, is that like the patriarchy? Is that like where we're going in that direction?
Well, I tweeted out a few weeks ago that we're a few weeks away from mainstream celebrities and some politicians coming out and saying that the Constitution was written by slave owners and it needs to go. And I still think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I saw today, though, which was a little interesting, that the last institution that's kind of held by, I guess, people on the right side of the political spectrum is mm-hmm. churches.
Yeah.
That's the only, and they do hold some power still in the country, but not as much. It's waned mm-hmm. hugely in the past couple decades.
Right.
But it is the last bastion of, I guess, conservative thought that's kind of relevant in culture. And they're going after that first. So I saw NPR, which is government-funded agitprop mm-hmm. at this point. Last week they had the story about white supremacists running over protesters. That ended up not being true. The protester pulled a gun on the person in the car and they sped away.
They usually leave out those details.
Yes, and they start with their conclusion and work their way backwards to find evidence for these things. Now they put out a story a few days ago saying that white supremacy has started in U.S. Christianity. And notice the words that they picked there. Or has its roots in U.S. Christianity. They're not messing with Europe.
Which had slaves.
Yes. I don't know.
Yes,
yeah,
they did. Okay. And they enslaved white people long before they brought people from Africa, by the way. People in Western Europe were enslaving Slavs for hundreds of years before they brought a single person from Africa.
Well, they're also talking about white supremacy, too. So I guess white doesn't matter if it's white slaves. They don't really care. Okay. I'm just saying. Like,
no, I get it.
And they're also talking about America.
Right.
Too. They're not messing with Europe, which is an interesting choice of words because they're going after a very particular sect of Christianity. They're not really attacking Christianity, which is smart because that's a worldwide phenomenon. There's also
US.
A lot of different sects. So they're going after United States Christianity, which
that's not a thing, though. Like, if you're a Lutheran, you're Lutheran no matter where you are. If you're a Baptist, you know what I mean? Like, it's not geographically centered on a certain place.
I guess the Klan was a religious organization. But
they're Protestant, and they hate mm-hmm. Catholics, which is why they didn't like Christopher Columbus. And in a weird twist of events, I know I mentioned this last time, the KKK has been trying to take down the Christopher Columbus statues forever. Mm-hmm. And also now the lefties, you know, the regressive left also wants to take it down.
Yeah.
So it's like they both agree on the same thing.
Yeah.
Which is
Weird
really
alliance.
Interesting. In regards to, and I kind of want to go back a few minutes.
Before you do that.
Yeah.
So they're going, I figured they'd be going after the Constitution first. Mm-hmm. But I think the Constitution would be, because I think the plan is to create their utopia. And in order to do that, they need to get rid of America.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is right now and start over from scratch.
Right.
And the last piece of the puzzle would be getting rid of the Constitution and saying it's time to rewrite a new decree of the land, because this was, so the last step before that would be destroying the last hub of people of, I guess, conservative thought in the country that means anything, which would be destroying the church, turning people against the church.
Going back to the Constitution, I think that actually Thomas Jefferson and the other co-authors who wrote the Constitution, although they did own slaves, it was weird. They wrote the Constitution right in my estimation, but they weren't living up to what they wrote, if that makes sense. So they said all men are created equal, but had slaves. And so it took, when was it written? Around 1776, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it took 1865. So 80 years later for them to actually get to that point where they were actually, living and what's the word I'm looking for? They were manifesting personhood. What they wrote before.
This podcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa, T-R-U-V is in Victory, Y, salonandspa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Get your hair cut, get your nails did, look good, feel good. Chrissy will take care of you. Make your appointment today over at TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
They weren't up to the moral standard that when they wrote it, and they said, right, all men are created equal. It clearly they weren't, because they had slaves in the plantation working the field, but it took them 80 years to get to the point where they were actually living what they wrote before. So it was weird, like their own personal behaviors had to match up to what they wrote.
Right.
Which is, and again, like you're thinking, oh, they had slaves, so everything that they wrote needs to be destroyed. I disagree. I think that what they wrote was noble. They just weren't living the noble things that they wrote. That makes sense.
And I'm, you know, happy I talked to a caller about this the other day, that yes, the Constitution did not apply to a certain sect of American society. Women didn't get the right to vote until the 30s or the 20s.
No,
20s.
1920.
You know, and then obviously black people were three-fifths
of a
person. Which
is 100 years ago, not that long ago.
Right. I know. And but these things, it's progress that we should acknowledge. Yes, I think there's still some work to do in this country, and I don't think we should just throw out the whole thing.
Maybe,
but there is a move that if it has any sort of association with something negative, it's got to go entirely.
Right.
There's no sort of, like, you have to be a complete saint in order to stay around. And nobody can
meet those standards.
And especially if you're looking at these figures from hundreds of years ago with 2020 glasses on. Like, yes, if Thomas Jefferson had a Twitter account, he probably would have used the N-word a bunch of times.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Forget about Thomas Jefferson. Think about grandma and grandpa.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
Or even like your parents.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents are good. They're in the clear. But here's the thing. Like, my dad is like very, very progressive. And I'm almost shocked sometimes because he's from South Africa. He grew up in apartheid. He had black nannies and black maids and things like that. He ended up leaving when he was 21 just because he could smell the political unrest and he knew it was going to be a dangerous place to live.
Good move,
he ended up moving to Israel. But, you know, you would think someone like that would carry over a lot of the things that they learned in childhood, and he didn't. He didn't at all. So, you know, we're all progressing with the times. We can all be ashamed and of things we maybe said in the past, or things our great-grandparents did or our parents did even. But that doesn't mean that they're, you know, written off as horrible people. You have to understand that the times were different. And what else would you expect if you're being told by, you know, your teachers and your parents and your friends that this group is a certain way? You just believe it because that's what you're told, right? And it takes society and enlightenment and progressivism to kind of move away from that and understand that, okay, you know, that wasn't exactly where we were trying to go, and we're trying to move to a better, more noble society in the future. So we need to stop judging people based, I mean, unless they did something really egregious. You lynch somebody? Yeah, okay, yes, you should be persecuted.
Owning slaves is pretty egregious.
No, absolutely.
But it was also fairly commommonplace back in those times.
Although very few whites had slaves.
Yeah, I know. But
they still thought it was okay to have.
The people that have statues, you know, did most of the... And I understand that point. However, there were a lot of other things about that person, too. And they also paved the way to being where... Well, I was going to say where we're at today, but right now is not... It paved the way to the 1990s and 2000s. Things seemed pretty normal, at least, and things were getting better.
So where is your take on the statues? Do you think they should come down? Do you think it's a slippery slope?
Oh, it's definitely a slippery slope. I know what the end game is, and it's to... I don't want to say destroy America, because I sound like my father when I say that, but rebuild it in a new utopia. Which would be a Marxist country.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't have a problem with them if they wanted to remove Confederate statues. Let's just talk about Confederate statues for right now and put it in like a museum. Yeah. So if you wanted to go view a part of American history, you would be able to do so instead of having to go. You're just in the public square and it's like, oh, the slave owners, and you got to see it every day.
I also see it as destroying art, too. I had to think about it in that product because I was like, why does it? Even the Confederate ones, why does it kind of irk me a little bit? And it's not because I have any allegiance to the Confederacy or these historical figures or anything like that. But somebody built that, like an artist, you know, made that statue, and it's just being destroyed.
Yeah, I don't think it should be destroyed or defaced, but if they were to remove it and again put in like a museum where you would have to go, you actively have to go and view it for yourself.
Yeah.
It's not in just like a public square.
That's fine.
I would be cool with that.
But that would be taxpayer funded, and people would have a problem with taxpayer funds going to a Confederate museum. 100%.
Listen, there's no solutions, just trade offs. So I'm just saying it like I see it.
I think that's what it was. I came to that revelation today that it's like destroying art, and that's kind of parallel to, well, maybe we should start burning some of these books, you know, because they got some unpopular ideas in them.
Again,
and I just don't want to do any of that.
But then it kind of goes. But then you start talking about art, it could be like, oh, this sculpture of a swastika's art. Like, I want to display, you know
what
I mean?
They do have that. That's an Indian symbol.
Right, but that's not how we view it. And if we see it in the street, we're not going to go, oh, that's an Indian symbol of fertility. We go, oh, that's a racist person.
Yeah,
you know?
But it should be more nuanced than that. And I think art like that would force people to look at it in different contexts. Like
if you just saw a swastika in the middle of the...
Well, it has to have some sort of merit. It can't just be like a statue has some sort of artistic merit to it. If it's just a swastika, then no.
What if it's like a sculpted swastika made of the same metals, brass, it's beautiful statue, whatever, but it is in the shape of a swastika. But it's art, like... I don't know.
Well, art's always in the eye of the beholder, I suppose. But like, you ever heard of Piss Christ? You ever heard of that piece? That was in the 1990s. That was a big controversial art piece, and it was basically just a crucifix in the artist's urine. That's all it was, and it was
in the artist's urine.
In the artist's urine.
Oh, so it was like
peed in a jar and put a crucifix in it.
Oh, okay.
And that was that tampon in a teacup type of modern art, whatever. But that caused an uproar, obviously. This was the 90s or the late 80s when I guess the church still had some power and everybody freaked out about that. But I don't want that destroyed either. Or, you know what I mean? Like, that was an interpretation and there was an artist statement behind it. And, you know, I don't think that should be destroyed, as I don't think these statues should be destroyed either. And they're very arbitrary. They're not even going after it. It started with the Confederate statues. Then it became the forefathers statue. Washington had to go. Then they just started like abolitionists. They were pulling it. They don't know what
they're... And Lincoln now too.
They don't know what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any concept of what these statues mean and what they are. Who these people are. They just know it's an old white guy and they gotta go.
Any sort of association.
Guilt by association.
Right.
And they burned in Portland, they burned a stag statue, like a big, I don't know what it was for.
Oh, like an elk?
Yeah.
They
just took that down and wrote, you know, ACAB all over it, anarchy symbols. Mm. And I don't know. It just didn't make any sense. And I think it's just to cause chaos at this point. And we're getting... We're teetering on the, well, no, we are in spoiled brat status with a lot of these people.
Can we make a few predictions before we go?
Yeah.
I think, and this isn't even a prediction, but this is just stuff that I've seen already, is that if you are celebrating the 4th of July, if you are celebrating this country, and I heard one of my friends say it, and he was right on the money, he goes, this is going to be a really awkward 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's not going to be a lot of fireworks, but there may be, you know, a burning Dunkin' Donuts. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But I feel like if you have any sort of pride for this country, then it's like a, ergo, you love this country, ergo, you're a racist because this country is a racist country. Like, you can't even display your pride without being called a schmuck now, which I think is ridiculous. You can have pride for this country and understand that it has flaws and things need to be fixed, which country doesn't? Show me a perfect society. It doesn't exist. I do think that America is amongst one of the most amazing places to live on the planet. A lot of people that hate America, especially the young people that say this is a racist country and blah, 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 and all this stuff, they've never been to a racist country. They've never been to a place where there's a civil war going on. They've never been to a place where women are truly oppressed, where they have seen people that are, you know, sick with cholera and they can't drink the water and all that sort of stuff. So they don't really have an appreciation for suffering because they've never seen true suffering. They live in the first world and they don't know what it's like to live anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's the predictions? What kind of predictions are we making?
I wanted to talk about Ghislaine Maxwell.
Okay.
For those that don't know, I know we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that she was apprehended by the FBI yesterday in New Hampshire. She's going to die, I think, in some capacity. I feel like the only logical way that they can make her die is she's going to get the COVID. That's the only thing. I mean, we got a worldwide, thank God there's a worldwide pandemic. People are dying, dropping like flies. She's 58, so she's almost 60. So she's almost like in that elderly category. I'm sure she's now going to have some, she'll be maybe in prison. Maybe she's going to get sick. Maybe her immune system is going to be low. She's going to get the COVID. Then that's going to come out in the news. Then she's going to be up. She's deathly ill. Boom. And she's dead. Mm-hmm, that is my prediction for Ghislaine Maxwell. There's no way that this can go to court. There's no way that she can talk, because if she talks, she's going to unravel society and life as we know it more than it already has. People don't even know how deep this goes. I mean, we're talking about state figures. We're talking about celebrities. We're talking about people in the CIA, probably. The FBI knew about this. The FBI was aware of what Epstein was doing. They did nothing about it when victims contacted them. So everybody is in on the secret. Everybody knows what's going on, and everybody is involved. So this woman cannot talk. She has to die, or die, in quotes.
And she said supposedly that she will cooperate with the investigation, and she will name names and some very people that are very high up on the what do you call it, power structure, are very nervous, including Prince Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to, I wonder, maybe, I think maybe Prince Andrew might be thrown to the wolves. I think they might get some, like, a high profile person, but it's not going to be what we think it is. It's not going to be QAnon, you know, clearing out all the pedophiles out of upper echelons of society. There's going to be a sacrificial lamb. And I think that she will, Ghislaine Maxwell will testify and be given some sort of immunity, that she was actually a victim of Jeffrey Epstein as well and manipulated by him. And I think Prince Andrew might get thrown to the wolves, and he might be the sacrificial lamb, and that will be the end of it.
I think she's going to die. I don't think she can live. I don't see any way
around
it. I
think she'll disappear. I think she'll go into some sort of witness protection. I think she is a Mossad agent, so I think she will probably end up somewhere else. I don't think she'll see any jail time.
Yeah, I saw someone make a great prediction about, like, there's going to be a big distraction coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And to pay attention to that, because now that Maxwell's in the news, people are talking about it, there's something big that's going to happen, and this usually happens to distract everybody so that we're not focused on her, and she becomes, like, 2-3-4 page news, and we're not focused on what's going on with her. So I have a feeling that there is going to be some sort of ploy, some sort of big distraction, a decoy, and that'll distract everybody so that they can deal with her, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens for show. Get at me on Twitter, home_made_man, 813-693-2124. Go visit the sponsors, NTT Fitness, St. John Clark Pain Treatment Center, Truvy Salon and Spa, Homemade Podcast. If you want to learn how to start a podcast, I can help you. I'm doing it right now. If you listen on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. HMB Radio. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. My name is Will Coons. Take care. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.